You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 8th of January 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Yes, it's the first Friday of the new year, and what a new year! What excitement we have had this week, and we are going to have even more excitement now, because you know who we have on the show today. We have Grandpa Dan with us today. Grandpa! How you doing, sir? And what's going on over there in America at the moment?
It's the bonfires of the clown world, I suppose. You know, this is my Tuesday show, you know, that aired this week. I basically told people, you know, something is going down this week. And, you know, I make being right look easy, but it's actually much more difficult than it might appear. Of course, Wednesday, we had this huge Trump rally. And everybody knows this now. You would have to be living on another planet not to be aware of this. And of course, which culminated in the storming, as they call it, of the Capitol. And the narrative since has just been amazing. We've seen the media has suddenly discovered the term violent domestic terrorist rioting mob. This after an entire summer of being told that people looting and burning down buildings and killing people were peaceful protesters. So yeah, it's been quite enlightening this week.
We were talking about this yesterday with Dr. Johnson, and he was saying, well, basically what this means is that the Biden administration doesn't have consent to be governed. America has not given its consent to be governed by a Biden administration. There is no majority that actually voted for him, which means that they will be ruling by force. They will be ruling with violence, that there is no consent. So the Biden administration is an illegitimate administration. And all they had to do was investigate the allegations of voter fraud. And the fact that he has refused to say, let's investigate this, there is a question over this, there are these allegations, I want to be the legitimate president. I want to be. I want our democracy to be clean. I want it to look clean to the world. Let's have an investigation. He hasn't said any of that, which to me says he knows full well that it's a fraudulent election. He does not have that number of votes. The votes were switched on the Dominion voting machines. We could watch Trump's numbers go down while Biden's numbers went up, something that is impossible. We could see the graphs, the statistical impossibilities on the graphs, and we know that there were more people voting than there actually were people that live in those states. Just unbelievable. And Biden has just sat there all the way through this with and seemingly quite happy for this to go on, which to me says that this thing that happened, this storming of the Capitol, at least there is now a record of the discontent. There is a record that election was stolen. Reportedly, there were 3 million people that were at the Capitol on the Wednesday for this demonstration. And now that people invaded the Capitol and tried to occupy the actual Capitol, the press has been forced to report upon that, which means that historians of the future will look back and they will say there was a lot of discontent at this. And up until now, the mainstream media have refused to report on any of this. They've said, oh, all these allegations, they're baseless allegations, there's no evidence. And now it shows that there are masses of people that feel that they have been disenfranchised, and it will go down in the history books. So regardless of anything else, at least now there is a public record that a lot of people feel that they were disenfranchised. It's not just Donald Trump and him being a sore loser. That's really my take on it from yesterday. And I've got some topics here which we can get into to do with it, Grandpa. Have you got anything else you'd like to say on my thoughts there?
Well, the fallout from all of this, you know, we were talking about people being disenfranchised, but the fallout from all of this is very illustrating, not because of what the communists, the Democrats, whatever you want to say, not because of their reaction to it, but by the reaction of the fake opposition party, namely the Republicans. They've fallen all over themselves to denounce these people. They have, you know, the mask has dropped. I mean, we know, or at least I've known for some time, that these elections are by and large fake. But once in a while, you have a deal where they don't fake it enough. And I think that's how Trump got elected in 2016. But now they just don't feel the need to, you know, be subtle about it anymore. I was thinking about what all this means. And, you know, people in America, we've tended for years to sit here and kind of mock Europeans. I mean, we'll pick on Germany today. And you look at Germany, and Merkel has, in, you know, invited in the Middle East and Africa, and the people don't like it. And yet every time they have an election, they put her back in. And people in America especially will sit here and look at that and be like, what is wrong with these idiot Germans? They just must be like masochists or something, that they have this disastrous policy for their country. And yet they keep voting Merkel in. And now looking back, well, maybe they didn't. Maybe this has all been fake all along. Maybe they've been voting against Merkel. Maybe they've been voting for all these other people, but they just faked the election. Maybe this is my, you know, because we don't think that this has been just America. This, you know, it opens up a broad range of possibilities, how far and how long they've been doing this fraud. And now they don't even care. I mean, we have seen the evidence. The media sits there and says, no evidence of voter fraud, no evidence of voter fraud. OK, well, then answer the question. Why were observers thrown out, for instance, and boards put up on the windows so they couldn't even look in and see what they were doing? I mean, common sense would tell you that, yeah, there's probably because there was voter fraud going in there. And yet the media just says, don't believe your lying eyes. You need to believe us. One of the things I just have found utterly disgusting here, and I am going to do my best, by the way, to not monologue, as is my habit of doing. But one of the things I found utterly disgusting is the various people ostensibly on the right who have been denouncing this and blackpilling on it, like this is some horrible thing. Of course, the Republicans, by and large, have fallen all over themselves to condemn these people. Fall right in with the media narrative. You sat here and heard the media all summer saying all of these, you know, people rioting, looting, assaulting, killing people, and these BLM and Antifa riots were peaceful protesters. These people went in here, you know, we had one woman who was just gunned down, an unarmed woman gunned down by the police. And yet we're told this was a violent domestic terrorist mob. The media has just, you know, 180 on this framing. And again, that's to be expected. But then you have these people that are like, well, you know, they're falling all over themselves, say this is horrible. Somebody told me the other day, I think Tucker Carlson had come out and said, well, this just gives them the excuse. This was so stupid. This gave them the excuse to take away our freedoms. And my reaction to that was, what freedoms? They're telling you if you can go to church, if you can open your business, how close you can stand to one another. You have to go everywhere wearing a mask, and they're warming up for mandated vaccines. Exactly what freedoms is this giving them the excuse to take away? And does anybody think they actually have to have an excuse at this point? They're just doing whatever the hell they want. But yeah, you know, it's an indirect denunciation of what these angry patriots did to sit here and say, oh, well, this was actually done by Antifa. It wasn't the Trump supporters. Look, I'm sure there were Antifa infiltrators in there. I mean, of course, there probably were. But there wasn't hundreds of Antifa storming up there hanging Trump flags off the Capitol. I mean, let's be real here. And again, it just falls back on saying this really wasn't us. And it's just like an indirect form of denouncing, you know, what these people did. I mean, it's obvious, as you just pointed out, Sven, that this was people are angry. And, you know, how about addressing why they're angry, that these might be legitimate issues that people are concerned and angry about, instead of just demonizing them and claiming that this is a violent terrorist mob?
Well, I don't think there was Antifa there, but you can say for certain there would have been agent provocateurs there. There are people that saw people being shipped in by the police that certainly looked like agent provocateurs. It seems what they've tried to do is replace the population, replace the electorate with a new electorate. that hasn't quite worked because Donald Trump got in there. So now what they've done is they're just outright lying on the mainstream media and outright lying on the social media. And what they're doing is they're just censoring anybody that points out the irregularities with this election. They're now saying that that is inciting violence, the same as they are censoring anybody that points out the irregularities with the COVID narrative. What they've been telling us over here on the BBC, they've been saying 5 killed during deadly riots. They're not telling us that one of those people that was killed by the police. She was completely unarmed. And the other 4 people died of medical emergencies. And we think possibly it could have been people falling from the scaffolding. Apparently a police officer went back to his base, and then he died at the police centre. So we don't really know what went on there, but they're implying that the peaceful protesters, and they were peaceful protesters, they're implying that they caused this violence. The violence or the protest was caused because they won't investigate the allegations of election fraud. That's what this is about. That's what the protesters were actually saying. And they're portraying this as violent. And yet when you look at all the images, there's not one piece of graffiti that you can see anywhere. There's no fires that have been lit. There's no looting. I mean, some things were picked up and moved about. There were some papers that were strewn about in an office, but no actual looting. If you compare that to what happened when the Hong Kongese invaded their capital a few months back in the summer, they graffitied everywhere. They tore down and smashed all the images of their former leaders in Hong Kong. What we saw happen in the capital on Wednesday were these protesters taking selfies next to the images, next to the paintings. And we saw the police taking selfies next to the protesters. It was not a violent riot in any way. Not when you compare it to what was going on with the Black Lives Matter riots, where from that capital in the summer, you could look in every direction and you could see that the city was on fire. They literally set fire to everything. They killed people. They did $5 billion worth of damage to the stores, according to the insurance. And you compare that to what happened in the capital, and I mean, just papers that were strewn around. And just to contrast the way that it was responded to, we were told that the Black Lives Matter supporters, they were peaceful protesters, but the Hong Kongese that invaded their capital and smashed up all the paintings and graffitied all through the halls, Nancy Pelosi is quoted as saying it was beautiful to see. She wrote them a letter congratulating them and said it was beautiful to see. I mean, one thing that I really think that listeners should point out to people is just look and see if there's any graffiti. None. No graffiti whatsoever. And every image there was of anywhere that Black Lives Matter went in the summer, even if they didn't set fire to the place, they covered it in graffiti, literally covered it in graffiti. And that shows you that the people that were in the Capitol, they were respectful. They were trying not to damage things. I think there was 2 windows that were broken. I mean, it not in any way could that be described as violent. The violence was on the side of the police who killed an unarmed protester. Apparently it was a black security guard. We're not sure which part of the police organization he was actually a part of, but it was a black policeman that shot and killed an unarmed white woman. And the press is reporting on that. They're trying to slander her. They're trying to smear her name. They're trying to say she's got a record for property damage. And again, you compare that to with George Floyd, who literally poked a loaded gun into a pregnant woman's belly and threatened to kill her baby, which the press covered up and made him out to be a saint. And they're trying to make this poor woman that was literally murdered, basically. I mean, she was just trying to climb in through a window. They're trying to make her out to be the bad guy, and Twitter have banned people from adding her hashtag to the name and say my name in the same way that Black Lives Matter like to say their name of their marchers that have been killed. It's just the contradiction between the two ways that this is being portrayed. I think that's going to wake a lot of people up. But again, I don't want a monologue here either, Grandpa. So I don't know what your thoughts are on all of that, the no graffiti and no looting.
Well, you brought up the Hong Kong thing. And you're right. I mean, this government celebrated that as this great exercise in democracy. And when the same thing happens here, it's a domestic violent, domestic terrorist mob. I mean, they've used every slanderous term against these people that you possibly can. We've had this incidents, you know, these numerous police shootings that kick off these Black Lives Matter protests. You know, like, for instance, we had the incident where the guy's running around. You saw the video where he's like keeps running at the police, wielding a knife at them, and they finally shoot him. And that kicks off violent protests. Well, this woman was just gunned down. I mean, this cop shot blindly, basically blindly through the door or window and killed this woman. I mean, she's dead now. And that's just completely being glossed over. Does her life not matter? Apparently it doesn't to the media. Again, I guess, sadly, that's not really surprising. But where's the outrage from Republicans that are supposedly the opposition party? I think, again, I said this early on. One of the things this really highlights is how fake this notion that Republicans are some sort of real opposition party, because they've just fallen right in line with Team D. The mask is off. They've been that way for years. But I mean, now the mask is off. They just might as well change it. Just say we have one party now, the Republicrats, or I don't know, the Democans, or whatever the case, because it's obviously monoparty rule. People are saying, well, this is going to lead to just the Democrats having control forever. But really, it's kind of that way anyway. We've just had these two names. And now you throw on the fact that they can just fraud the elections and get whatever result they want. Then it shows that this whole democracy thing, this whole voting thing we've been told is our way of, you know, keeping the government power in check, is all a lie. It really is. It's a lie. I'm seriously thinking about going down and seeing if I can unregister to vote. I don't even want to be on the voter registration rolls anymore because it's pointless. It's stupid. It's like, you know, why do I want to be signed up for the con game? You know, I don't want to be on the spam mail list for voting, because it's obviously a sham. It's obviously just a con, and I don't want any part of it anymore. This woman was gunned down in cold blood. These people were simply, yeah, they got mad. The people marched in there. But as you said, I mean, they didn't really destroy anything, scared the hell out of all these Congress people. And that's a good thing. I'm sorry, but that's a good thing. They're supposed to be accountable to the people. You would think if they were really viewed themselves as passing laws and legislation and representing the people, this would be a feedback loop. And they would sit here and say, oh, well, we must be doing something wrong if the people are this angry at us. But you see, they've broken all the feedback loops. You're not allowed to criticize this. Everybody's been banned pretty much across the board from all social media, except for fringe social media that disagrees with the narrative. You're not even allowed to complain about any of these things. And at worst, they just ban you, At worst, they'll go after you, get you fired from your job, and all of these things we've seen over and over again that is just ever expanded to cover more and more people. They've broken the feedback loop. So then you get this big blow off of steam and people charge in there. And all of a sudden, these people are crapping themselves and running around with these weirdo gas mask bag things, which I found hilarious, by the way, these big gas mask bag things on their head and cowering on the floor in front of the people that supposedly they represent. And we're not supposed to think that this system is broken somehow. I mean, can you honestly say these are your people who represent you? You voted them into office and they carry out the will of the people, when they're cowering on the floor with a bag on their head because the people hate them. The people are angry because they won't listen to them. Nobody, you're not even allowed to complain, much less will these people even hear what you have to say. As you pointed out, the fact that the people believe this election was fraud, and obviously was, and they just keep telling you to shut up. You don't know what, you know, you don't believe your lying eyes. You just have to believe what they tell you. All the feedback loops have been cut off now, and you're only allowed to go along with the narrative. And we're supposed to be shocked when something like this kicks off. And where does this lead down the road? Well, who knows? But I mean, as I was pointing out to somebody recently, if everything, you know, let's say Trump goes on and just cucks out, Biden gets into office, they've banned everybody off of social media, they've shut everybody down. These people, these millions and millions of people, are not going away. I mean, they're going to just evaporate off the face of the earth. They're not going to suddenly just wake up and say, well, I guess we were wrong. And, you know, the frauded election is all good to go. And we'll just keep buying into the system. These people aren't going away. The problem's not going to go away because they keep shutting it down and not allowing people to speak, not allowing people to point out the truth. None of that stuff's going away. They're trying to create this situation. It's like they're so arrogant. They think they can create an alternative reality just with their words, but they can't. These people aren't going away, and the anger isn't going away. When you don't allow people to at least voice their displeasure at these things, it doesn't make it better. It doesn't make it go away. It just simply builds up steam in the pressure cooker. And as a result of this, what? We can accurately and with great confidence predict that things are going to get worse. Things are going to get more volatile because there's no way for people to feel as though they're even having their voices heard. Instead, it gets pent up and pent up and pent up. And then, of course, first you'll see the fringe people that aren't mentally healthy. They'll break first, but then everybody else starts falling in as well. Because at some point, couple this with the COVID nonsense and the lockdowns and all of that, and you've got this great stress on society. One of the most laughable thing are these politicians like Biden and stuff, and they talk about, we've got to get Trump out of there and we've got to start healing and bringing the nation together, as if that's even possible anymore.
Well, you bring up the social media bans there, and everybody getting banned from social media. It's taken just 3 years from the first person to be banned from the internet, which was Andrew Anglin, to the president of America being banned from the internet. He's currently banned from Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Shopify, Twitch, and even banned from his own website selling Trump merchandise, apparently. But you point out there, these people that they're calling domestic terrorists, they're Republican Party supporters. And yet you've got the Republican Party that are attacking them. Essentially, it's bad enough that you have just one party now, which is the Republicans and the Democrats. And that's how it was before. That's why people didn't want to vote before. But if they're now going to say that it doesn't even matter if you do vote because we're just going to rig the election, I mean, that is taking it another level, isn't it, really? What's another thing that was really getting me yesterday was the projection on the part of Kamala Harris and Biden. We had Kamala Harris. She said, we have witnessed two systems of justice, one that let extremists storm the US Capitol yesterday and another that released tear gas on peaceful protesters last summer. It's simply unacceptable. I mean, is she blind? Did she not see the tear gas that was let rip at the Capitol? Did she not see this woman that was shot? We've had Biden saying if it was a mob of Black Lives Matter protesters, they would have been treated very, very differently. We all know that's true. And he says that with a straight face. When what we saw happen with the Black Lives Matter protesters in the summer, we saw the police getting down on their knees before them. We saw this happen throughout the world, not just in America. We saw in Britain that the Black Lives Matter protesters were throwing push bikes at mounted police women, causing them to get punctured lungs and broken backs when they fell off their horse. And we saw countless numbers of white people that were beaten up, and the police were just doing nothing. And what we saw yesterday, we saw an unarmed protester shot, and we saw the protesters tear gassed, and yet we're being told that they are the extremists. And Kamala Harris and Biden, when I see him on the television, he just looks so evil to me. He just looks like Satan in human form. His eyes are just black holes. There's nothing there. He just, every word that comes out of his mouth is a lie. He's like a living human version of the serpent, the liar from the beginning of the book of Genesis. He's just so wicked. The projection that he's coming out with, which is the opposite of reality. He talks about insurrection and damage to democracy. The damage that's been caused to democracy has been caused by his refusal to investigate allegations of fraud. They have completely destroyed all notions of democracy in America by stealing the election. And then you think, well, what do you do when the other side cheats? What do you do when the other side cheats like that? I asked this in the chat room last night, and Okuma said, well, will you stop the game? Well, how does Trump stop the game here? How do you do that? What do you do? I mean, normally when you have bad actors, so you have the police, and the police have a monopoly on violence, but they don't use violence on everybody else. So how does Trump stop this? How does he stop the game? How does he arrest the people involved that have caused this? He can't even get an investigation off the ground because the courts are corrupt, because the judiciary is corrupt. He can't even take it to the Supreme Court for them to look at. When they were going to look at this yesterday, they were going to actually have a debate on the evidence for the allegations of election fraud. And instead of doing that, because there was this attempted occupation of the Capitol, the senators all used that as an excuse not to have the debate. We had this Kelly Loeffler saying, well, I can't possibly condone having a debate and look into the evidence now after this. I mean, they just used that as an excuse. Instead of saying, this shows the level of feeling there is about this, this shows the number of people that feel disenfranchised. There are 3 million people outside this building that have turned up to show that they feel that their vote has been stolen from them, and they're now invading the building itself, trying to occupy the building. Instead of saying that, they say, oh, well, that's an excuse for us not to investigate it. That's an excuse for us to completely destroy democracy. The projection on the side of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden is just staggering to me. And not just them, it's the rest of the world's leaders as well. They're all talking about threat to democracy, damage to democracy. Not one of them is saying, why haven't these allegations of fraud been investigated? That is all that it would take. If they were to investigate the fraud and say, no fraud happened, then all the problems that America has would melt away. And you know, the people on the Republican side would say, okay, well, we've got a Biden presidency. He won legitimately. That's all he has to do. And he won't do it, which is the biggest proof there is that this election has been stolen. Grandpa, what are your thoughts on Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's response to this yesterday?
Well, several things here. One of the things, I mean, because before all of this happened, you had, I think it was like 12 to 15 Republican senators that were going to supposedly object to all this. And I was warning people that, look, these are just people being opportunistic. What do I mean by that? None of these Republican senators were really, they knew the fix was in. Now, this is just another illustration of uniparty rule. They knew the fix was in. They were just going to object. They knew at the end of the day they were going to certify Biden. They just wanted to be able to stand up there and object so that later down the road, when it's campaign time, they can go back and tell the rubes, well, we supported President Trump and we did our best, the usual game, we did our best to fight those dang Democrats, but we just didn't have enough Republicans. So you need to vote harder next time. It's just, I don't know. It's not being jaded. It's just so much experience with this nonsense. And that's all they were doing. They had no intention of actually an objection that was actually going to stop the certification process. This was just 100% them trying to position themselves where they could sit here and say, oh, well, we were on Team Trump too, so vote for us next time. Now, so of course, when push came to shove and this happened, of course, they fell away because then, you know, it didn't look like that would be a good opportunity. I've been saying, as far as what Trump does, I've been saying for some time now, weeks now, that we're at the point when basically once the Supreme Court refused to hear any of this, even when Texas, along with multiple other states, sued other states over election fraud, and a state suing another state, that is like, it's like, huh, no, we're going to be too busy deciding whether or not it's in the Constitution that you have to have health insurance or some other nonsensical thing that the Supreme Court seems to belabor continuously over instead of their actual job. Once that happened, I said, look, Trump's only option, either martial laws or nothing happens, because the media is the pivotal anchor, the linchpin in which all of this nonsense hinges on. And the only way he can shut down the media and get his message directly to the people unfiltered is to declare martial law. So, and we're still there. If he declares martial law, then he can do that. If he does not, he will not be in office on January 20th. It's that plain and simple. He's not going to get a hearing in the Congress. He's not going to get a fair investigation in the Senate. He's not going to get a hearing before the Supreme Court. None of that is going to happen. He declares martial law or nothing happens. We see this as this has played out. And you were pointing out how the media has said that basically they're blaming the protesters for everything, even a police officer going back to the station and falling down dead. And so much of it doesn't so much of this echo Charlottesville. And, you know, you had at Charlottesville, you had some police in a helicopter crash their helicopter for whatever reason. And they said that was the fault of the protesters as well. They had the media openly say that only the people on the right could be blamed for any violence, regardless of who committed it. And they worded it just like that. And now we see this once again, the same tactic rehashed, you know, brought back up and used again. Only now it's against these, you know, these patriots, these Trump supporters out there waving their. Many of us warned that that's where this was leading and nobody wanted to listen. But nonetheless, another mask that has been taken off with this whole thing and is the anti-white mask. Let's be honest, the anti-white mask is off of this. When this was all going down on Wednesday, I got home and I turned on to see how the narrative was reporting on this, because you have all these chaotic things happening. So I turned on TV and I'm watching CBS, and then they're having a special report, chaos at the Capitol. And the news anchor, I think it was Nora O'Donnell, she's talking to the reporter on the scene here. And, you know, they're going on about this. And she says, well, with disdain, and I can't even copy the way it was said, but with disdain and contempt dripping from her voice, she says, well, it's fair to say, she says this to the reporter on the ground, it's fair to say that this mob, this violent mob, is overwhelmingly white, isn't it? This mob is overwhelmingly white, with disgust and contempt dripping from the voice. And you have people who sit here and say, oh, we're giving them an excuse. Let me tell you something. People that have that kind of contempt for your existence, because, you know, that you dare to exist, that you dare to speak up on your own behalf, they don't need an excuse. They don't need any. They're not going to suddenly decide you're okay. They have contempted their voice. No mention of any sort of, you know, these people apparently are really pissed off. Maybe we should find out why. No, they're overwhelmingly white. You're right. It is protection. Harris and Biden. I mean, this is all protection, but we're used to that. I mean, this is what these people, the leftists, the communists, whatever you want to call them, this is what they've done for years. And really, honestly, it's not surprising that they're doing it now. Why? Because they hate you. I mean, really, it's like the whole thing. We're always accused of hate. We go around, we seek out the truth, we speak the truth, and we're condemned as promoting hate, inciters of hate. This is the ultimate projection, for it is obvious. It is they're the ones who are filled with hate.
Well, they're using this excuse, aren't they, of Trump is inciting violence, he's a threat to democracy, just for pointing out that the crimes that have taken place in this election. The BBC hasn't even allowed him to speak since the election. He's given quite a few speeches. They've ended up being posted on Facebook. The BBC has given him no airtime whatsoever. Instead, they've been showing Biden in front of his fake backdrop that says the office of president-elect, even though there is no such thing as an office of president-elect. They gave Joe Biden a full half hour last night to come out with all this projection and all this nonsense about how if it had been black protesters, they would have been treated differently. And then after that, they gave a spot to all these different world leaders that were all saying exactly the same. And they didn't once give a clip of Donald Trump saying anything that he's been saying. And when this happened, straight away, he was saying, look, I understand your feeling. I understand you feel disenfranchised. The election was stolen, but this is not the way to go about doing things. You need to leave. You need to leave the Capitol, and you need to leave peacefully. Straight away, they had Biden come up there saying that he's calling on Donald Trump to ask the people to leave the Capitol, which is something that Trump had already done. But what Trump had actually said wasn't being reported on. So what was being portrayed to the people that were watching the mainstream media was that Trump hasn't said anything at all. He hasn't asked these people to leave. Look at this sensible president-elect here, Biden, that is calling on the bad president to call his supporters off. You know, it's just so many lies. It makes me sick. Every time I see Biden, I just think, what a total fraud. And how does he think he is going to govern a country that has had this done to it, that's had the election stolen from them like this? It's just going to be ungovernable. 2021 is going to be the year that America descends into all-out civil war, I think. And I really don't want that to happen. And that's what we've been trying to avoid here at Radio Albion for years. We've been trying to prevent this sort of thing from happening by pointing out what is going on, the lies that are going on out there, and the way that white people are being portrayed, the way that white people are being oppressed, basically. And people will laugh when you say that to them. But then when you start pointing out all these speech crime laws that we have here, all these hate crime laws that say that if you're an ethnic minority and somebody attacks you, they're going to be punished twice as much as if somebody white is attacked. All these diversity quotas, all these standards that are being lowered. And we are the only ones that are pointing this out. And we've been pointing out for years that this is where it's going to end up. It's going to end up in the same situation that South Africa is in now, where it's open season on white people. And it's open season on white people that is being condoned by the government. And that is how Joe Biden is going to rule. He's not going to govern. He's going to rule. He's going to rule with an iron fist because he has no legitimacy. There is no mandate for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to govern America. I mean, I could see that we could end up seeing states like Texas balkanized from the United States, which could be something positive that's going to come out of this. And I'm also still hoping that some new evidence might get turned up in the next couple of weeks. There is a rumor going around that in Italy there is somebody that has admitted to actually being the one responsible for switching the votes over on the Dominion voting machines. I don't know how much truth there is to that. We will have to wait and see. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.